In 1881, Thomas Edison kicked some serious you-know-what at the Paris World Exposition. Engineers from around the world had brought their systems for lighting cities with electricity. There had been many dazzling shows before, but this was the first time a practical system for bringing light into homes would be actually demonstrated. That was the promise, anyway, and Edison delivered. His incandescent lights, powered by a huge dynamo generator called Jumbo, established Edison's legacy for all time and introduced the United States as the industrial power on the world stage. With the switching on of some lights and the possibility of electricity flowing as easily and far more cheaply than natural gas, a new era began with revolutionary changes in social life, work life, nightlife, changes that are still going on today. Here is the voice of Edison himself speaking in 1908 about the miracle, not of lighting, but of electricity itself.
Since the remarkable experiments of Morse in 1844 and the unsuccessful efforts of Field in 1858, there have come with incredible rapidity one electrical art after another, so that in practically every respect civilization has been revolutionized.
It's the voice of Thomas Edison speaking at the opening of the New York Electrical Show, his voice preserved on an Edison cylinder, something also of his own invention, the phonograph. Historian Ernest Freeberg explains how the era of Thomas Edison inspired the world we live in today in his new book, The Age of Edison, Electric Light and the Invention of Modern America. Ernest joins us today from the studios of WUOT in Knoxville, Tennessee. Welcome.
Hello.
So this is such a great history to explore. And in this book, remind us of just how competitive Edison was with other technologies that were trying to, at the same time, develop systems for bringing incandescent light into people's homes.
Right. Edison was not the lone genius who invented incandescent light, but rather he was involved in a transatlantic race, the Great Paris Exposition that you mentioned. There were at least five other rival systems, inventors who had also developed a working incandescent light and had lots of light to show at the Paris Exposition.
And there were many technologies that had to be perfected, some much less sexy and interesting, at least to lay people, than the light itself, for all of this to work. The generators had to work. The ability to make a vacuum and manufacture mass-produced vacuum tubes to make the light itself, all that had to be put together, and Edison was ahead of it all.
That's right. It really, the electric light bulb that we remember him for was just the tip of the iceberg for a much more complicated system. He even had to work out the meters so that he could charge customers for the current that they were using.
And did Edison, is his success not so much in his ability, and of course he always talks about inspiration is a result of perspiration and all the failures that he experienced in the lab, but also of thinking far ahead, thinking to the moment in which a million people were going to use this, not just 20 people or 50 people, but millions and millions of people.
That's right. He was working at creating a central station distributed across a number of city blocks at a time when his competitors were all just thinking about how to light a room or a small space. So he was thinking systematically, and he also was thinking systematically about the invention process. It's often said that Edison's greatest contribution as an invention was the invention of the modern research and development laboratory that he pioneered at Menlo Park, where he took a lot of capital made available by J.P. Morgan and the Vanderbilts and others and used that to hire a staff of people who channeled his ideas and improved them and he brought skills to the table that he did not have.
You know, in many ways, you've answered my next question. Edison seems like an outlier in that right at the end of the 1800s, he comes directly at the most powerful industry in the world at that time, the oil and gas industry, and defeats them with his inventions. Were a lot of people gunning for the oil and gas industry, and is that partly what gave him the funding to proceed?
Well, everybody, gas was the most heavily capitalized monopoly in the country, and many people were resentful of gas. And gas was, it provided an unprecedented amount of light, but also a terrible number of side effects. The gas light would suck the oxygen out of the air and replace it with noxious fumes. Caused all sorts of problems with asphyxiation. So many people saw it as an important but improvable technology. But Edison's big challenge then was not to create a scientific experiment, but rather to create a marketable product where he could deliver this very sophisticated technology for a price cheaper or close to the same price as the gas.
You write in your book that Edison had the idea that, oh, all those gas conduits will be perfect for the wires I'm going to put in there. I imagine the gas industry had a few things to say about that.
They were not happy. That's right. And for a long time, actually, people installed in new buildings, they would install the ability for customers to choose either gas or electric light. And it took quite a long time before the country was entirely electrified. Gas light hung on. In fact, Gaslight responded with a burst of innovation. They became much more efficient, brighter. They developed an incandescent burner themselves. So they, the Edisons coming up behind them led gas to a burst of innovation themselves.
Did Edison in his lifetime and most of the people who lived at that time truly believe that electrification would be everywhere, not only in the United States, but in the world?
Edison was immediately thinking about marketing this around the globe, and yes, he was a global thinker, a global marketer, and started to sell his light across the globe. Many people in Europe were frustrated by the fact that they had developed the science, they had the great universities, they were the ones who had the cutting edge understanding of electricity. But it was Edison, Westinghouse, and a number of other American innovators who figured out how to turn that technology into machines and to, in a sense, sell it back to the world.
And now we can't imagine the lights being off or the electricity being off. I mean, that sense of intuition is part of Edison's invention.
Absolutely. I think the most interesting part of the study for me was to look at what happened when the light bulb left Edison's laboratory and started to spread through the culture. And it really took not just a small number of inventors, but many, many people working over decades to figure out all the ways to apply the electric light. It's really impossible to think of a field of work or a form of leisure where people didn't find a good way to bring illumination into it to enhance the experience.
And that's what a revolution is all about. Ernest Friedberg is the author of The Age of Edison, Electric Light and the Invention of Modern America. He's a professor at the University, professor of history at the University of Tennessee. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
So would an analogy to the light bulb be the internet today? Is the internet a basic human right? Andy from Michigan wrote this on our Facebook page. What a stupid question. Let's work on ensuring universal access to things like clean drinking water before adding the right to something that did not exist 25 years ago. How far ahead are you thinking? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.